Okay, we'll try something new today, which is, I usually have been saying over from Rabbi Schlesinger's shir. Right. So today we're going to try half Rabbi Schlesinger and half my own. So we'll see if we get it all in. We're going to have two topics. The first topic is the key to a successful marriage, as seen through the special Atta Yitzarta Tefillah on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. The past Shabbos was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Shvat coming out on Shabbos. And in the Tefillah's Musaf, we say a special Tefillah. The Tefillah is called Atta Yitzarta. So the beginning of the Tefillah is Atta Yitzarta Olamcha Mikedem Kalisa Malachtucha B'Yom HaShvi. Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have created your world from before, and you ended your work on the seventh day. You had the 6 days of creation, and then Hashem ended his work, and he rested on Shabbos. So, and then we add another part, the next part of the Atta Yitzarta, we say the following, Ahavto isanu, v'ratsisa banu, v'ramtonu mikol alishonis, v'kidashtonu mitzvaysecha, v'keraftonu malkeinu l'avaydesecha, v'shimcha agol v'akodesh oleinu karasa. It might sound very familiar. It sounds very familiar to Yontif. This is what we say in Kiddush, in Shmoyne Esrei, concerning Yontif, that you, Hashem, you loved us, and you raised us above all the nations, and you sanctified us with your mitzvahs, and your great name is called upon us. So it would seem, the question over here is as follows. When Shabbos comes by itself, we don't say Atta Yitzarta. When Rosh Chodesh comes by itself, we don't say Atta Yitzarta. When Shabbos Rosh Chodesh comes together, then we say this new tefillah. Instead of saying the normal Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, of Shabbos, we say the special Musaf of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So what is the reason that only when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh come together do we say this tefillah? So Rabbi Schlesinger quoted from a new sefer had just come out called Nefesh Shimshon. This is written by Rav Shimshon Pinkus, who was a great person. Unfortunately, he was killed in an automobile accident a few years ago. And since his patira, a number of sforim have come out, which he shiurim that he gave. He was very involved in the Kiruv movement. He was a very great person that lived in Eretz Yisrael. So he explains the answer to this question, and he says that really Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh are a contradiction one to the other. Why? Because Shabbos, the first part, Atta Yitzarta Olamcha Mikedem, which is speaking about Shabbos, that part, what is Klal Yisrael saying to Hashem? The world is all yours. You're the one who created the world. What do we do on Shabbos? We stop all our work. We stop all hishtadlus, all efforts to make money, to build things, everything comes to a halt because the world belongs to Hashem. That's what we're declaring on Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh is just the opposite. Hashem says to us, the world is yours. What does that mean? All our Yom Tovim come, of course, Hashem told us to keep Yontif. But who decides what day is Yontif? Bezdin. Bezdin, when the Edim come, in the olden times when the witnesses came and they would see the new moon, they would come to Bezdin, and Bezdin would sanctify the new moon and would say, Mekudesh HaChodesh Mekudesh, that the new moon is holy. And as a result, they have a choice, because as we know, the cycle of the moon that goes around the earth is 29 and a half days. So every Chodesh could either be 29 days long, and the 30th day is the first day of the next month, or it could be 30 days long, and the 31st day is the beginning of the next month, which we call either the last month is a mole, it's full, which means it has 30 days, or it's a chaser, it's missing, it only has 29 days, because we don't celebrate 29 and a half days. So either we have 29 full days or 30 full days, and every other month, usually one month is 29 and the next month is 30. Sometimes it's a little different, but usually it goes mole chaser, mole chaser. So who decides whether it's mole chaser, mole? Who decides? Bezdin. And based on that, if Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Thursday or Rosh Chodesh is Friday, depending on whatever Bezdin says, Pesach, which is 2 weeks later, will either start a day early or a day later. And if the person eats chametz, if Beis Din said it's Pesach, chas v'shalom, the person is chayv kares. And if Beis Din said no, it's a weekday, it's not yet Pesach, he did nothing wrong. So this power was given over to man. So like Rosh Chodesh represents Hashem saying to man, you're the one in charge of the world. So now Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh come together. So it's like a contradiction. Here we're saying the world is Hashem. Hashem saying the world is ours. What do we do? So he quoted a Yalkut, which I brought with me from home, and unfortunately I left it in my office, but we'll try to remember what it says, Baal Peh. The Yalkut says a very interesting story. We know that people come to a Beis Din. For example, the first mission in the Masechta Bava Metzia is every fight is similar to this. What is the fight? Two people come into Beis Din with a talis. It's one of the first things that a child learns when he learns Mishnah or Gemara. He learns this Mishnah. Each one says, the whole talis is mine. And the other one says, no, the whole talis is mine. What does Beis Din decide? Beis Din decides, yachloiku. If they can't prove which one really owns it, and they have a doubt, so they said, you know what, split up the talis. So Rav Schlesinger said, no Beis Din in the world probably ever got the following question. Two people come into Beis Din, and zeh oimer kulo shalach, shalcha, and vizeh oimer kulo shalcha. Each one says, this talis is not mine, it's yours. And the other one says, no, the talis is not mine, it's yours. Each one, we don't find this halach in Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because Shulchan Aruch only writes halachas that are negeya lemaisa, which means which practically happened. This no din Torah in the world, no Beis Din has ever gotten a. My son is a dayan in Chosher Mishpat. I'm going to ask him if he's aware of anyone that ever came to a Beis Din that says this. I adamantly insist that this is your talis, and the other one says no. I adamantly insist this is your talis. But there is such a case that happened by Alexander Mugdan. Alexander the Great, he used to travel all over the world, and the Yalkut says in Tehillim, Yalkut Shimoni, that he once came to the Hore Choshech, the mountains of darkness, and he met the king of Hodu, India. So the king of Hodu brought out to Alexander the Great beautiful gold vessels. So Alexander the Great says, I don't need your gold. I got plenty of gold myself. So the other king said back, well, what did you come here for, food? I imagine you have plenty of food also. Like, what are you here for if not for gold? He said, I'm here to see how you adjudicate cases, how you make a psak, a din, when you have disagreements. So he said, okay, if you want to see what I do, wait. So he was there a few days, and one day this case came. A man bought an old, run-down house from another man. And we'll call him Sam and Joe. So Joe bought that run-down house from Sam. And he comes to the king, and he says, Joe says that I found a treasure in this run-down house. And I didn't buy the treasure. I only bought the old house. So this treasure belongs to Sam. And Sam says, no. I sold you the old house, whatever's in it. If you found the treasure, it's yours. So here was a case, which we don't have today in any Beis Din. Apparently this was amongst Goyim, this case, that each one said the treasure belonged to the other one. So what did the king do? The king said, you know what? He said to Joe, do you have a son? Yes. Is he married? No, he's looking for a shidduch. And then he said to Sam, do you have a daughter? Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. She's looking for a shidduch. And the shidduch was made on the spot. The son is going to marry the daughter, and they're going to become shutvim. They're going to become partners in the treasure of the... And everybody was very happy. So the Indian king said to Alexander, didn't I paskin good? Wasn't my adjudication good? He said, no, it was not good. He said, what would you do if it came to you, such a case? He said, if it came to me, I would kill both of them and I would take the money. So that he should take the money, we understand. But Rabbi Schlesinger asked, why is it necessary to kill them? He said, because Greek philosophy was that what these two people represent, if this starts spreading throughout the country, it's terrible for the country. Why? Because how do you build up financial affluence if you have competition and everybody is trying to kill the other guy in business? And there's competition. Everybody tries to advertise better than the other. And if there's cutthroat competition between two parties, that was the philosophy of Alexander, that you're going to build up the economy in that way. If everybody's going to say, this is yours, and the other one's going to say, this is yours, there's not going to be any Wall Street and any financial incentive to build up the economy. So therefore, I wouldn't just take the money, I would kill them. Because this is totally against what I think is the way to have a prosperous country. The Indian king was telling him no. He says, when you have each one saying, this is my talis and this is my talis, so then what is the best in the side? Yachloku, they should divide it. When you divide a whole talis in half, then nobody, you have a half a talis. Nobody has anything. He was trying to tell him, the way to solve such kind of problems is when shutfim, if you become partners, then both partners have the whole thing. Whatever you're fighting about, if the both will have the whole thing, he says, my method is better. If they're able to get together and make a partnership, then that's another way to solve the problem. My suggestion is let them become partners. Now, that he says, very good. So we have the same thing with Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, Hashem says, the Klal Yisrael says to Hashem, this world is yours. Rosh Chodesh, Hashem says back to Klal Yisrael, this world is yours. You make the Rosh Chodesh, as we say in Davening. Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. So Hashem gives Kedusha to the Shabbos. Yisrael, where did they get their Kedusha from, the Jewish people? They get the Kedusha from keeping Shabbos. That's where the Jewish people get their Kedusha. And once they have their holiness, what do? Yisrael makes holy the Zmanim. Zmanim refers to Yantiv, which comes, as we explained, from Rosh Chodesh. So Mekadesh HaShabbos, and then Yisrael, and then the Zmanim, the Yom Tovim that come from time to time. So Bezdin is the power of Klal Yisrael. Hashem is the power represented by Shabbos. What is the Eitzah? You do it both together. There's a partnership. And that's why on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we say both together. We say, Ata Yitzar, the Klal Yisrael says, the world is yours, Hashem. Hashem says back to us, Haftoi Son of Ratzisa Banu, that's all about Yom Tov. And the idea is to be a partnership together. And you know what mitzvah represents a partnership? Bris Milah. Bris Milah is a covenant. When we have the Milah, is a covenant between Hashem and man to elevate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Hashem can't do it himself. He has messengers in this world. We are the messengers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So Bris Milah represents the covenant. What three mitzvahs did the Greeks want to destroy? They made a ban on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. Those were the three. Because they saw this as a threat, an existential threat to their whole philosophy. Because his philosophy is competition. No partnership. Each one should compete against the other. That's why they wanted to destroy. And he said, The topic was called The Key to a Successful Marriage, as seen through the special Atu Yitzart the Tefillah on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Here's the key to successful marriage. If every person in a marriage says Kulei Shali, and the other one says Kulei Shali, then Chas V'Shalom, it's Yachloiku. There's Machloikis, there's division, separation. Ultimately, Chas V'Shalom can be divorced. The key to a successful marriage is not that the man knows what the woman's supposed to do for him and the woman knows what the man's supposed to do for her, but rather the woman knows what she's supposed to do for the husband and the husband knows what he's supposed to do for the wife. If everyone says all is yours and the other one says all is yours, and the way to work it out is by shutvim, if there's a partnership, a real partnership, then that's the key to a successful marriage. So that's what Atu Yitzarta on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh has to do with a successful marriage. Okay, in the remaining time, I'd like to go to a different topic, and this one will be something of my own. We have in, we're holding already Boy, but I just want to say something on Parsha Shmos and last week's Parsha Va'era. We have in Parsha's Boy a secret happened. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. A man from the house of Levi went, and he took a daughter from Levi. And everyone wants to know, why aren't the names mentioned? We found out the names in last week's Parsha, Va'era. Who was the man? The man was Amram. He was the Gadol Hador at that time, the leader of the Jewish people. He married Yocheved. He had divorced her, and then his daughter told her, you're worse than Paroi, because you got divorced because you were afraid of the children getting killed, but now you're not having sons or daughters. And the Gzera was only on sons. So he listened to his daughter, she's right, and he took back his wife Yocheved, and then the rest of Klal Yisrael took back their wives. So here in Parsha Va'era, when Moshe is about to go to Paroi and tell them, let my people go, suddenly Moshe's parents' names are revealed. Who were they? Amram and Yocheved. So all the Mephorshim ask a question, why is it a secret until Parsha Va'era? In Parsha Shmos, it doesn't tell us it's Amram taking Yocheved. A man went, ambiguous man went, and he took a woman without saying the names. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's itself says that when Moshe was born, everyone knew that this is a special child. It says the house became full of light. It says Moshe was born with a bris milah already, which is something unusual. So everybody saw that this is a special child. So the Torah wants to teach us that when we have a special child, there's no yichus about you're having such a great child. Because as long as he didn't develop, we don't know we don't know how it's going to work out. He might develop into, Henry Kissinger, who who was a prodigy, and if he would have, I always think if he would have stayed in learning and stayed from, he would be from the biggest Rosh Yeshivas in the world today. And he became an advisor to the president. As far as Jewish values, unfortunately, married a Gentile, and he went against all of the Jewish values of his father, who used to sit in Breuer Shul, one row in front of my father-in-law. And I used to remember when I used to daven in the shul, visiting my in-laws. Mr. Kissinger Sr. was sitting one row in front. Henry Kissinger's name was in the back of the shul amongst all the people who had gone into the army and fought during World War II. He and his brother were there. So Moshe Rabbeinu, brilliant, genius, until he becomes in Parshas Va'era at the age of 80, when he faces Paroi, and now he's ready to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. He's fulfilling his tafkid, his purpose in this world, as the Goel Yisrael, the one who's going to redeem the Jewish people. Now we want to know, who are the parents of such a child who developed into what he was supposed to develop? And he didn't become a secular advisor to Paroi, being brought up in the palace of Paroi. That could have very easily have happened. And Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen. He became the Goel Yisrael. Now we have to know, who are the parents of such a child who developed from his potential into Mikoach El Apol. However, I thought on my own a different idea, just the opposite. That Moshe Rabbeinu had tremendous parents. His father was the Gadol Hador, the leader of the Jewish people. His mother was the biggest tzaddikus. Yocheved was she was Moshe Nefesh with Miriam to save Jewish children, even though it could have meant death at the hands of Paroi. She was the tzaddikus of the Dor. So the Torah wants to teach you, as you might have the greatest parents in the world, but until you develop yourself, there's a thought that says that yichus, that you come from, there's people who look in a marriage, what's the yichus of the perspective, you know? So, right, yichus is zeros. If you make a one, if you make yourself your own yichus atzmo, your own yichus, who you are, then the more zeros you have, and you put in one in front of the zeros, if you have three zeros, you're 1,000. You have six zeros, you're 1,000,000, etc. So the more zeros you have, but you have to put that one in front. If you don't put yourself in front of the zeros, then all your yichus, who you come from, your genealogy, who you come from, is all a bunch of zeros. That's the lesson that Hashem is telling us in the Torah here by Moshe. Moshe had tremendous yichus, but until Moshe developed himself, it just says a man went and he took a woman. It doesn't say the names of Amram and Yechavit. Next week's in the Vayera, where Moshe developed into the Goel Yisrael, now it's a yichus for Moshe to know who his parents were. So I want to point out, because this will pertain to what I'm going to say in a few minutes, that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zitzel is looking at the yichus of parents when they have a brilliant child. And I was looking at it the opposite way. The yichus of a child having unbelievable parents. So just keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. The Sfas Emes I mentioned a few weeks ago. I mentioned the Sfas Emes. What is the bracha that we give to children? Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Uchem Menashe. Right? And the question is, why not Kavrom Yitzchak VeYaakov? Many answers have been given to this. The Sfas Emes answers, because usually from Avram Avinu, every generation that went further and further away, we got lower and lower and lower. There was only one generation that stayed the same level. Menashe and Ephraim were able to stay on the level of the Shvatim. We learned in the past Shiurim how they were the number 14, that there was 12 plus 2. They eventually took over instead of Reuven being the Bechor, Yosef became the Bechor, and from Yosef came two Shvatim, Menashe and Ephraim. So they fit right into the Shvatim, but they were a generation less. A younger generation. So every parent says to a child, Hashem should make you like Menashe and Ephraim, that you should not go down. Normally people go down generation to generation. My bracha to you is, you shouldn't go less than me. And what I want to add now, we're going to see that perhaps even you should go higher than me, but at least you shouldn't go less than me. Now the Gemara, recently we learned in the Daf Yomi, there were two tzaddikim, Rab Nachman and Rab Yitzchak. And Rab Nachman visited Rab Yitzchak, and then he took leave from Rab Yitzchak. He told Rab Yitzchak before he left him, give me a bracha. So there's a famous, it's a song now, Elon, Elon. He said he compared him to a tree that had a beautiful shade, it had a river flowing right next to it, it had luscious fruit. And he said, anybody who comes to that tree would rest under the tree. He would have a shade. He would have water to drink. He would have delicious fruit to eat. So he says, what should I bless you? Should I bless you with Torah? You have Torah. Should I bless you with honor? You have honor. Should I bless you with children? You have children. In other words, what should I say to this tree? The tree has everything. The only thing I could say to the tree is the seeds that come from the tree that are going to make new trees, they should also have a shade, and they should have luscious fruit, and they should have a river going underneath. So that's what I say to you, Rab Nachman, said Rab Yitzchak. Whatever I want to give you a bracha, you have already. The bracha that I can give you is that those who come from you should be kamocha. They should also have Torah and covet and richness and children and all the blessings. That's the biggest blessing that I can give to you. So we see again from this Gemara, what was his blessing? He didn't give him a blessing, they should be greater than you. He gave him kamocha. They should be like you. Because that itself, as we said, normally the generations get lower. A child is not usually as great as his father. So the blessing was be like you. However, there is a pshat that I heard from the Deborah Tzina Rav. I once had the great schus, Yibadl Ben Chaim L'Chaim. I was in the house of the Vizhnitzer Rebbe from Muncie, and in his house was Rav Moshe Neuschloss from New Square, the Dayan, and there was Rav, the Deborah Tzina Rav had come from Brooklyn, and it was a gathering of Rabbanim. And at that occasion, the Deborah Tzina Rav said a beautiful pshat. Yaakov Avinu, when he met Menashe and Ephraim, he told Yosef that Vikare Bohem Shemi the Hamalach Hagoel Osmi Kol Ra Yivarch Sanorim, the Malach should bless the children. Vikare Bohem Shemi V'Shem Avosai Avram V'Yitzchak, and my name should be called with them and with Avram v'Yitzchak. So the question is, gaiva, haughtiness. How does Yaakov come to put himself first? My name should be called with the children and Avram and Yitzchak. First, their cheretz would be that first you say Avram and Yitzchak and then yourself. So the Deveret Senior Rav said, no, this was anivus, not haughtiness. It was humbleness. How? Because he says, as we mentioned before, I told you to keep this in mind. Remember Rav Moshe Feinstein and what I was trying to say. Rav Moshe Feinstein was looking at it that the parents had a yichus in what son they had. I was looking at it, the yichus of the son, what parents he had. So Yaakov Avinu said that usually you come to a child or a grandchild, and what do you say about the grandchild? You know who this grandchild, he's a grandchild of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Ooh, wow. So the yichus of the grandchild is who his grandfather was. But sometimes you have a grandfather or a father who says, do you know who this father and grandfather are? They're the father and grandfather of these grandchildren. The yichus is in the grandchildren, not in the father. In other words, there's an expression, they outsteig the father or grandfather. They became greater than the father and the grandfather. So Yaakov Avinu said, you know what I wish on myself? That people shouldn't say, you know who Menashe and Ephraim are? They're the grandchildren of Yaakov. No. I wish on myself that people will say, you know who Yaakov is? V'yikare bohem shemi. My name should be called in them. My yicha should be, you know who I am? You know who Yaakov is? He's the grandfather of who? Of Menashe and Ephraim. So he said like this, Avram and Yitzchak, that's already, can I say such a thing, that Avram and Yitzchak should be called after Menashe and Ephraim? You know who Avram and Yitzchak are? They're the great-great-grandfather of Menashe and Ephraim. That's already maybe a little chutzpah for me to say. So just the opposite. The anivus was that he put himself first. He says, about me, I know I could say, I'm not so great as Avram Yitzchak, so I could say, Vikari Bahem Shemi. My bracha to myself is, I hope that people will call me, you know who Yaakov is? He's the grandfather of the great Menashe and Ephraim. That's my yichus. Maybe even Avram and Yitzchak. That I'm saying second. That's not first. So just the opposite, according to this interpretation, the anivus, the humbleness, was that he put himself first. So here, from this pshat of the Deveret Senior Rav, we see that it's sometimes possible that the Sfas Emes says that we say Kefraim and Asher because we want our children to be at least equal to us. But, and also we said Kamocha, the river, that whole story. He blessed them, your children should be like you. But there's even possibility that there's a greater bracha. And that's certainly the bracha that all of us want for our children and grandchildren, that our yicha should be that they are the parent or the grandparent of their grandchild. That's how great their grandchild will become. And that bracha should be bequeathed for all of us. Amen.